Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
In the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, he records a prayer that he prays for them. He actually writes down the very words that he prays and lets them know, at least in part, some of the things that he is praying to the Lord on their behalf. But in chapter 2, when we come to verse 1, we learn what a great spiritual conflict is involved in Paul's prayers for them. There's more to it than the words, the simple words and the encouraging words that are found in the recorded prayer in chapter 1. But as chapter 2, verse 1 makes clear, prayer is battle. Prayer is warfare, that is spiritual warfare. Prayer requires great effort, and it is engaged in seriously at great cost. And maybe that's why so many of God's people are not very involved in this vital work of prayer. But this is what Paul says in Colossians 2, 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. What great conflict, what great agony. And he is talking about prayer. And we are studying that subject as it is described for us by the Apostle Paul in these words in the Colossian Epistle. Thank you for joining us on this Friday, April 1. Many thanks for remembering that we depend upon the gifts of God's people to stay on this station. Well, why is prayer such an intense spiritual struggle? Part of it has to do with the distractions of the world. It's hard sometimes just to make yourself find a time and a place and to pray. There's so much going on. It's an intense spiritual struggle also because of the weakness of our flesh. We become fatigued. We sometimes become lazy. There's many reasons why people don't pray. And as our Lord Jesus Christ himself told us, the spirit is sometimes willing, but the flesh is often weak. At least that's what he told his apostles, and I think that applies to many of God's children. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes, in spite of our best intentions, we just don't get to the place of prayer, or if we get to the place of prayer, we just don't follow through with any serious praying. Why is prayer such an intense struggle? Because of the opposition of Satan. Satan opposes the people of God when they pray. It is truly spiritual warfare. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, though in fact we do wrestle with our own flesh and blood, our own physical fatigue, and our own fleshly conflicts. But our main conflict is not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. And when Paul wrote those words in Ephesians chapter 6, he was not referring to the wrestling we have with our own flesh, but he was talking about conflicts in ministry, and Paul says, my conflicts are not with other people so much as they are with Satan and with demons and with the spiritual powers in heavenly places. And someone has said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And if that's true, and it probably is, Satan doesn't tremble long. He gets busy to oppose that saint in his prayers. Now, if he doesn't succeed in stopping him from praying, then perhaps then he trembles. But he's learned that many times he can succeed in diverting saints from praying. And therefore, he doesn't have to tremble because they are not praying. They are not approaching the throne of grace. They are not petitioning the power of Almighty God. And Satan knows that when God responds to the prayers of his people, that Satan is defeated. And so, it is the opposition of Satan that adds to our intense spiritual struggle. And many times we just simply are struggling with the purposes of God. In other words, we many times just have difficulty lining up our will with God's will, our understanding with what God is doing. And so many times we are actually struggling with God's will and God's purposes as we pray. And that adds to our spiritual struggle. Intercessory prayer is a battle, an agonizing war that demands concentration, effort, and sustained devotion. If you're going to pray seriously and effectively, you're going to have to be committed to working through these difficulties. But oh, how we need to pray, and how we thank God for prayers, and how all of us, all of God's people, need to become prayers, to wrestle, to agonize, to persevere, to win the battle of prayer. Yes, it is a battle. Yes, it is a sacrifice. But yes, Jesus is worth it. And the things that can be accomplished through prayer make the effort well worth whatever it costs. And so Paul says in Colossians 2:1, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." And it is probably prayer that Paul is talking about in this verse. And it may also include other areas of exertion. He could be talking about the exertion of preaching, though he's in prison when this is going on. He could be talking about the exertion, the struggle of writing, for he's doing a lot of writing many of the epistles that we find in our New Testament were composed while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. He could be talking about the struggles of administrating the work of God, because even though Paul was in prison and couldn't travel and evangelize and strengthen churches in person the way he had done in the past, it's clear from his epistles that he is continuing to consult with gospel workers and send them out upon assignments, and he is very much involved in the work of the Lord in churches all over the Roman world, and he's doing that from prison, and he could be talking about that. I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. And the fact of the matter is that all efforts to exalt Christ, all efforts to proclaim the gospel of Christ, all efforts to build up Christ's kingdom involve great conflict, great exertion, great sacrifice, great struggle, and great opposition of various kinds. And Paul is engaged in hard work in difficult circumstances against dedicated opponents. But Paul is fully engaged. He doesn't allow any of these difficulties to stop him. He is making no excuses. He's not trying to offer to the Colossians reasons why he cannot pray for them, and why he cannot write to them, and why he cannot labor on their behalf. None of that. He is fully engaged in the work of the Lord, doing whatever he can in the circumstances in which God has placed him, recognizing that he is in imprisoned in Rome because God wills it. And if God wills me to be imprisoned in Rome, then I can serve him in this location. Paul is determined to serve Christ with every ounce of his strength, no matter where he is, no matter what his circumstances. The circumstances belong to God, but Paul's commitment to Christ belongs to him. He must remain committed regardless. But why does Paul want them to know about his conflict? I want you to know, he says, verse 1 of chapter 2, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. And Paul uses language like that in other places, in other epistles. He says, for example, in 2 Corinthians 1:8, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of certain things. He wants them to know. He uses the same kind of language in his Philippian epistle, when he says in Philippians 1:12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So here, once again, in Colossians, Paul is specifically saying, I want you to know this. And that stresses the matter that is under discussion. His introduction by that phrase, I want you to know this, especially highlights. It's like taking a verbal magic marker or highlighter is a better term, and highlighting what he's going to say next. Pay special attention to this. And what he's telling them is that false teaching, heresy, false teachers are a real and serious danger. And all of that is involved in this conflict. I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I am willing to do whatever it takes to go to battle on your behalf, and you need to know that this is serious spiritual warfare that is involved in establishing your church, in maintaining your church, in keeping you in good spiritual health, in keeping you out of the clutches of false teachers, in keeping you persevering in the faith that you have embraced. This is going to require serious labor, serious prayers, and perhaps other labors as well that are best described by the word conflict or agony. Now, sometimes we don't look at it that way. We know that God is a powerful God. We know that God has made wonderful promises to his people. We, along with the Apostle Paul, are confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And sometimes these truths cause us to be complacent, unengaged, unalert, unconcerned about the dangers, about the difficulties of maintaining good spiritual health in the midst of a hostile world and in the midst of spiritual adversaries in high places, heavenly places. But not Paul. He saw no conflict between his belief in the sovereign power of God and the promises of God and the difficulty that God's people face in maintaining themselves in the most holy faith. We dare not coast. We dare not presume. We dare not think that we will remain in good spiritual health without serious effort and special alertness. If we think that, we are bound to fall. Take heed lest you fall. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.